105.5, the Colorado Sound. It's Ron Bostwick sitting here with guys who have been together for a long time. They took a little time off.
What's 40 years?
Just, you know, what's 40 years among friends? Really? You know, the guys from Magic Music sitting here clockwise around. It's Chris Daniels, who we all know and love. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning. It's great to be back up here at 105.5. You guys are sounding so good.
Thank you. Sitting to his head side, you know, on the guitar, you know, to your left, but, you know, swing that guitar head around, you're going to hit him in the head. Will Lucky on mandolin. Will, good morning.
Great to be out here. It's a wonderful place.
Thank you. And sitting next to me, Toad himself, it's the man, George Cahill, sitting here on flute. George, nice to have you here.
Glad to be in Colorado Sound.
So, you know, here's this band that you guys, you know, there was no plan 40 years ago.
Plan? I don't think a plan existed.
No.
No. The plan was to survive.
Yeah. The plan was probably just to sit around and pick tunes, you know, and just play music, right?
I think the plan was actually to go haying and chopping wood, and then if we got lucky, we'd play the tunes.
Yeah. But then, you know, a couple of years go by, and maybe you guys start thinking, hey, this might work. Like, you really did have a plan after a little while, didn't you, Will?
We started to get an idea that people liked the music that we were making, and but it was all conjured up in El Dorado Canyon or Allen's Park, so our testing ground was very limited. But as we got outside of that area, we found people enjoyed it a lot. So we started to think, wow, we can maybe make a hamburger out here.
You know, but you guys really were just sort of playing music for the fun of it. I mean, truly living in buses, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, living in a donut truck.
Right.
Although, you know, that's the best part for me.
I know, the donut truck.
Living in a donut truck. It's bad enough it's in buses. Oh, no, we're in a donut truck. You know, you know, but you guys didn't have that plan, but then it sort of formulated, and you came so close to, you know, getting the record deal and really wanting to make a go of it, right?
Absolutely. We definitely made the run at it, but I think our youth and our perpetual option against the man was a little bit of a problem, stood in our way.
It was the 70s.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, we were all against the man, you know, right, back then. But, you know, when you guys made that decision that, okay, this isn't going to work for us, you know, did you have that feeling of maybe someday it would come back? Or did you really think we're just letting it go? Because, you know, Chris, you went on to have the Kings. Everybody else sort of went off in their own direction.
I think it was a launching pad for all of us. Will went off and had a band in Colorado for a while called Lucky Sayers, and then he went out with Alex Taylor and had his own band Lucky Strike, and Toad went off to Alabama, did the same kind of thing. So I think it was not that the music went away, it was that the time period, what we were playing was, people have called us the first jam band in Colorado. Chuck Morris laughingly said, either you guys were 5 years too late or 15 years too early.
yeah.
But I think we were running up against, you know, the sort of dual sides of the tread from the Ramones on one side and disco on the other, and it was kind of running over what we were doing at the time. So it made sense to sort of let it go, but we never let go of the friendship. That was far more important. And we just followed each other's careers and what everybody was doing. And finally, because of our manager, Sloth, good old Bart, we would get together for these reunions. So that's what kind of brought us together, was the reunions.
So we're going to talk more about this new music, but I want to have you guys play something because you're here with instruments in your hands. Gandhi Dancer is a song that is on the album. Could we get you guys to play that while you're here in the studio?
Oh, you bet. Yes. You bet. Crazy story about a wild guy that saved my life out in the Nevada desert. Picked me up, and he was a railroad track worker, and he said, I'll live my life for adventures. I just like adventures. So that's how it came to be.
This is a sentence I never thought I would ever say. New music from Magic Music. This is it's Gandhi Dancer.
One, two, buckle my shoe. Hey!
and a dancer. I give it a chance and see what I find.
Sort of a manual wah-wah pedal.
That is.
Move the guitar close to the mic. Move the guitar away from the mic.
That's right.
Guitar
close, you know. Acoustic wah-wah.
It's the acoustic wah-wah. I like that.
There you go.
That could be a new band.
There you go.
The acoustic wah-wahs.
Yeah. As Chris likes to describe you guys, you were Leftover Salmon before Leftover Salmon, you know, back at the very beginning of Colorado music. In fact, you guys were back at the beginning of Telluride, you know, Telluride Bluegrass, playing the second and third. Nowhere near the thousands of people that are there now. You know, you could probably still get a place in town.
Yeah.
I have a poster where the tickets were $4.
You know, and a sandwich was a buck, probably.
Right.
You know, do you remember, were you guys playing original music back then, or were you playing cover tunes when you first got together?
Yeah, it was all original. In fact, the only time we actually started doing cover tunes was later on when we started going, oh, let's take this someplace different. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we did really wild cover tunes. We were doing, you know, stuff from Old in the Way, but also doing things like a cappella tunes from the Persuasions. It was really fun.
Mm. So, Will, you know, when you got together with Lynn, because you guys were the first, you know, Chris, he's, you know, the young guy.
Yeah.
In the
band. He's a kid. Why?
You know, you woke up one day and, okay, we'll let him in the band.
Yeah.
You know, one of those things. You know, when you guys first got together, I'm going to guess that because there was such a great music scene in Colorado, it was sort of easy for you guys to blend in and just sort of be, because there was a very supportive music scene here in Colorado.
Absolutely. It was great. You could have no problem going downtown and just sort of panhandling, we used to call it.
Yeah.
You know, you'd set up the hat and a couple of chairs and throw down some tunes to the student union area where people were crossing and collect the hat, which was, of course, you had to have a pretty girl out there.
Of course.
You know, because she would do a whole lot better than one of us idiots.
Were there plenty of people who thought that you were CU students because you were out there busking on the campus?
Well, I don't think we quite looked like CU students. We were like one step away from the college campus.
So, Will, if you would tell us, what's everybody been doing for the past 40 years? You know, once the band let go of this idea of being together and everybody went on their separate ways, you know, sort of run us through where everybody went.
Everybody's spread out, and it's kind of interesting. The bass players, all the bass players seem to be in Boulder area, which is great. Mr. T ran away to Birmingham, Alabama.
Right.
That's George sitting here next to me.
Yeah, right.
George did, and Chris started his band, The Kings and Spoons.
Yeah,
right?
I did a few years with Russell Smith and touring around as a sideman for years, and that was kind of fun. But eventually the Kings formed in 84, which now seems like a millennial ago, too.
Yeah, more than 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, for those guys.
Yeah. And I carried on a band in Boulder for a while called Lucky Sayers, and then I ran away to Martha's Vineyard, which is where I grew up, and started playing music out there with James Taylor's family and stuff, and stayed there ever since.
So. Yeah. It's easy to do.
It's easy to do. It's a little hard to get off the rock, as they say.
Yeah. So, you know, do I remember right that you had been friends with Tim, who's in the band for a long time? Is that how you got to the Vineyard? Because that's where Tim lives?
No, I was on the Vineyard and Tim used to summer there.
Oh.
And so Spoons came out and then we all kind of conjured around for one summer. And then for whatever reason, college, that's right. I left and went out.
We forgot about college.
I mean, what was college going to do for me? I don't know. But I went to Colorado College for about 2 weeks, and something didn't happen. I'm not sure what that was. But the draft number did happen.
Oh.
It was 336, and I thought, there it is, my ticket out.
Yeah.
So away I ran to Boulder, Colorado, and started trying to throw down tunes on the campus because I thought that's the only place I can see any money around me. And around the corner, and another little piece of lawn was Toad, George, and Lynn Poyer playing, doing the same thing with a guy named Marty Trigg. And I stuck my head around the corner of the building and thought, there's three of them and one of me. This isn't going to work. So I sidled up and said, well, how are you guys doing? And we sort of jammed a little bit, and it gelled. It was pretty instant, I think.
It really was, yes.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah. Yeah. George, do you remember that moment?
Oh, yeah, because Lynn and I were very much into going on with the band. Marty, not so interested. He liked playing music, and he was actually writing songs and stuff, but he wasn't much into living in school buses and stuff like that. So Lynn and I came around a corner and found him, and by the end of the day, we had put him in the bus. I'll never forget.
I remember the bus.
I pulled up in front of 7-Eleven Pleasant Street and said, come on, get in here with your guitar and everything, and we're going. And we went. I think we went up to El Dorado Canyon pretty shortly thereafter.
We drove directly to El Dorado Canyon.
In my 52 Ford bus, the one that said Win with Jesus on the side.
And we've come for your daughters on the bumper.
Yeah, it's been sitting on the rear bumper. We've come for your daughters.
That was not good.
How much for the women?
Yeah. I remember.
So it's not just that you guys lived in buses, but the buses ran. It's not like they were on flat tires.
Absolutely.
That's how you got around.
We had five buses over the years.
Wow.
Yeah.
We had wood stoves. We had wood stoves. We had more wood stoves in the buses, and a bed or two,
Yeah. So, Chris, let me ask you this, that, here's this band that got together in the 70s. You're playing around campuses, and you had that youthful nature about you, living in buses in the donut truck and, doing what you can. How do you, if it's important to you, how do you take that from then and plug it into today as we're all in our 50s and 60s, or has that been important? Have you tried to recapture what magic music was back in the 70s today?
Well, I think Tim did a really good job producing the record. And what he did was to say, okay, here's the sound and the songs, and that stands in and of itself. But let's now figure out how to make it sound as good as things can sound now with studios that are out there. Most of the recordings that we did, which were demos for record companies and stuff back then, were all two-track recordings. There's only two songs we ever recorded that were actually 24-track. Now, of course, you have 60 gazillion tracks. But there were only two songs we ever did 24-track, and they actually got us an offer from one label. I think there were like six offers over the years. But, and they always wanted us to do something different, stand up, sit down, play somebody else's hit song, whatever. They also wanted our publishing, and we were always going, that sounds weird. So we kind of fought those deals off. But when Tim came in, he said, I want to keep the heart of magic music, but let's kind of really look at how we can use the studio and all that stuff. And then he just thrashed us mercilessly.
For 4 years.
Would just say, okay, that was good, but now you got to be better. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of what he did with that. And I think where it fits in now, it is really remarkably well, whether it's Old Crow Medicine Show or The Devil Makes Three or Leftover Salmon or any of the stuff that is out there right now. The attitude that we went on stage with, I'm the MC for the Telluride Bluegrass Festival, and that attitude that the Punch Brothers have, we're nowhere near, I'm never going to be Chris Thiele on mandolin, but at the same time, they walk on stage with this attitude of, adventure. And that's what we did every night. We'd walk on stage, and I think Tim captured that on the record.
America is the land of second chances. So let's have you play another one from the new album, if you could. Let's do Bright Sun, Bright Rain.
Oh, yeah, the new single.
The new single, people call it that. Right. It's magic music here at 105.5, the Colorado Sound.
All right, a little tuning here.
Okay, it's fine.
And we actually switch instruments here in a minute.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bright sun, bright rain. It's new music from Magic Music here at 105.5, the Colorado Sound. Toad's flute makes me think of everybody from like Firefall to Can't Heat, in fact. You know? And I just feel like I'm 15 years old again.
You know, that's one of the things about this music is when you close your eyes, for us, when I close my eyes, I could be 18 years old again. It's truly a time machine.
Yeah. And, you know, you look across the space and I'm looking at Toad and it's like, there you have it. We were 20 years old, you know, and really? Mr. Sink over here, Spoons, Chris, yeah. All those names are you.
Yeah.
when you look at Toad, do you still see him with long hair?
I see him with dark hair. Quite interesting.
That's everybody.
That's right. And Spoons with hair.
Spoons with hair.
You know, on the album, you've got Billy Payne from Little Feat. You've got Scarlett Rivera, who was in Rolling Thunder Review. Being the big Billy Payne fan and Little Feat fan that I am and Rolling Thunder Review fan that I am, how did those two get to be involved?
Well, Scarlett got hooked up with us through Fred Wallachy out in California, I think, in his store. And she was in the store, and Timmy came in. And Fred's sort of a matchmaker. And he said, Timmy, play a song. And Timmy said, no. And Scarlett was hoping he'd play a song. And eventually Timmy boiled it down and played a tune. And Scarlett jumped right in and started playing with him. And it worked great. And so he said, why don't you come put some tracks down? Which she did, and of course she nailed it, and it was wonderful. Fell in love with the music and with a bunch of raggedy old fools and said, let's have a band.
Yeah, so she's part of the crew now. Yeah. And then Billy was, I'd known Billy from, he'd worked on King's Records back all the way to 1990, and we'd done a lot of shows with Bill. And so I sort of put Bill and Tim together and said, you know, this would be some keyboard parts we could use. And so Bill's having a great time. Same thing with Jimmy Haslett from the Yellow Jackets. Our original bass player was Rob Galloway. That's his proper name. We won't use his of his many nicknames.
Thank you.
And yeah, he'll be out with us doing some shows with us, so we still work with Rob. And then Tim brought in Jimmy Haslip to do some of the bass parts too, which was just amazing.
Yeah. But you know, on the video for that for Bright Sun, you got Billy on congas.
Yeah.
You got him
doing
percussion.
I think it's a special moment for him. He laughed about it. He said, I don't think I've ever played this machine before. Yeah.
This machine.
Where's the volume knob?
Yeah, there's no pedal.
Can we get you to do one more song here?
Absolutely. Yeah.
What would you like to do off the album?
We'll do Mole Stumble. And don't ask me how I came up with the name, Ron.
Okay. Then I won't ask you.
But there is a little mole, and he is stumbling.
Okay. It's Magic Music doing Mole Stumble here at 105.5, the Colorado Sound.
One, two, buckle my shoe.
Oh, yeah, the cold ending.
The cold ending. That was the mole falling.
The actual stumble.
A real stumble with the mole. It's new music from Magic Music here at 105.5, the Colorado Sound. You know, there's another song on the album, Porcupine Flats, that I want to just tell you that as when I was listening to it, it made me think that this song could have fit in 1968.
Yes.
And it could fit today.
Yes.
It resonates today. The message in the music really fits with, you know, I heard some turmoil in there that could have fit then and could also fit now, you know. Who wrote that? Was it everybody or just Will?
Voila.
You know, yeah. Well, you know what? If I may ask just personally, what were you thinking about when you wrote that song?
That's a great question because, you know, I was thinking about, like, Renaissance fairs, right? And really funny stuff like that. I was trying to write something, to be perfectly honest, that was really hard to play and that everybody else would have a hard time with.
He succeeded.
This is the, you know, and it's
a great
not,
Santini here.
It doesn't seem so complicated now, but then it was like, I'm going to write a guitar riff that seems really crazy,
mm-hmm.
and, which I did. And Spoon straightened it out for me. Thank you.
Yeah. At one point, I even had a French horn at the beginning of this song.
Whoa.
Yeah. You know, the imagery of it was what I was going for, all the lyrical imagery. The girls with dangling rings of hair, you know, and the euphoria of that time.
Yeah. Pretty much my students at CU now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It all comes around.
Yeah, it really does. That's, I mean, what you were saying is true, you know. And their love of getting out into the mountains and, you know, I mean, the students that I have at CU Denver, that's what they're loving to do. They, you know, let's get out of the mountains and, you know, and I've got kids who will go up and camp and, you know, spend an entire weekend waiting to go to, you know, Telluride Bluegrass or whatever, dangling rings and the whole thing in the hair and, you know.
There's one line of that song that I think is great, which is I wrote Fields of Pheasant and Quail. Now, you know.
There's your Renaissance fair.
There's a Renaissance moment. And when Tim was recording it in L.A., he sent us a mix of this song to approve, right? And so it was great, and we'd listening to it, and all of a sudden, fields of pheasant and quail, and then, boom, he shot the quail. It was a joke, and we're all thinking, uh-oh, does he really think that's good?
We're trying to be sort of politic with it. We go, Tim, I'm not sure that works, and he played it to the hilt. He said, oh, no, no, it's got to be there. It's really great.
It's a great sample.
Oh, no. It's a great sample.
An integral part of our band was the dog that I owned, Mr. Blue. And Mr. Blue, during the first 3 years of his life, ate 31 porcupines. 31 times we had to extract porcupine quills from Mr. Blue's face. He was part wolf and part husky and part fool. And we decided wherever we were, that was Porcupine Flats. That's why we came up with the name.
You'd think after 10 times he'd learn.
You'd think after one time he'd learn.
We'd want to believe we all would. Chris, I have a question for you. You know, recently you were in front of the Denver City Council as part of honoring Harry Tuft and Chuck Morris, two guys who were very instrumental to the beginning of this band. You know, given what you have been through dealing with cancer in the past 7 years, you know, tell us what that moment meant for you to be able to honor these guys who were part of this band from the beginning, and especially given what you've been through, and also knowing that, you know, one of the founders, you know, is not with us, Lynn, who left us 5 years ago. You know, just sort of bring us to that place that where you were as you were looking back at the good fortune of what's happened, and you're still here.
It's a great question. Being able to speak on behalf of Harry Tuft is always good, especially because what Harry did, who started the Denver Folklore Center and also did Swallow Hill, he really created a community here. And Chuck, through all of his years of you know, putting on these incredible shows, you know, was part of that community too. But Harry especially created a community, and he gave us some of our first gigs at the Denver Folklore Center years ago. So it was always fun to do it. Plus, Harry brought his guitar and sang, you know, which I think is just so wonderful. You know, get in front of city council and sing a song, you know.
That's the way it should be.
That's just perfect, you know. And Paul Cashman had made the proclamation possible. It was great. But I think the part of it that is stunning is the community that people feel, and that really was part of what Harry did and what Magic Music did. We still have this amazing community. You know, the original players, CW, our percussionist, and you know, Das, our, one of the great bass players that was with us for a long time, they're all part of this great community. It's really almost a family in the sense of the terms, and that's really what Harry was, you know, a part of. And he gave so many musicians, you know, Hot Rods came out of the store with, you know, Nick Forrester working behind the counter and meeting everybody. So it does kind of tie together. It's that wonderful sense of community. And the fact that the city of Denver would go, hey, that's pretty cool. It's kind of neat.
Yeah. Any thoughts for the future? You know, another album maybe, you know, tour around, maybe move back into the bus?
Well, the bus, oh, you know, yeah. The buses are good.
Or maybe it's a better bus.
That's kind of what we're hoping is next summer is to get into a kind of a nicer bus, maybe something with a double eagle, you know, and then go out and hit the road again. And I think that'd be really fun if we can get back here and do some shows back here. So that's part of the future. There's also, weirdly enough, there's a documentary movie being shot about, and it's actually now they're editing it, about the band. And so, you know, I think that'll probably be 2018. You know, knock on wood, we're all still here for that one. So, you know.
And I might point out that the guy who's producing, who shot that documentary, an old fan of yours,
yeah,
who kind of has done okay in Hollywood.
Yeah. He's done very well.
Yeah. Guy named Lee Aronson, who's behind Two and a Half Men and Big Bang Theory. You know, did you guys know him back then? You know?
Not really, but he was a student at CU. He used to come listen to us play, and he said, his quote is, I always wanted to get on the bus, but I was too scared.
Oh. You know, but he didn't walk up. He didn't go, hey, Stinky, how have you been?
Yeah.
You know?
I think he said he spoke to Lynn a few times, and Lynn probably might have remembered him. I don't know, you know, a long time ago.
That's got to be a sweet thing, though, to have a guy like him come back and say, hey, I want to make this movie about you.
You know what was cool? It's truly the folk music tradition, because what he did was, you know, he didn't have any recordings of the band. He remembers specifically Bring the Morning Down, one of Will's songs. And so he would sing it to his kids as a lullaby, you know. And, you know, talk about folk music tradition. You don't have the record. You just remember this chorus. So he'd sing it to his kids. He got in touch with me a couple of years ago, and he said, so are you guys going to do something? And I thought he was just Lee on email. And so I said, yeah. And he said, well, I'd like to shoot a video, you know. And I said, well, sure, what the heck, you know. He said, but I actually do have some credits.
Yeah, really.
Yes, he does. Well, we'll look forward to the movie. We'll look forward to more music from you guys and, you know, hopefully getting out and getting out on tour and staying off the bad buses, you know. Yeah. Or maybe, you know, put the donut truck on the back.
Yeah. We'll tow the donut truck.
Tow it like a dinghy.
We'll take it into town for dinner and stuff.
An equipment trailer on the back.
I love the way you're thinking. It's Magic Music here at 105.5. The Colorado Sound. Chris and Will and Toad sitting next to me. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. You guys are just the best.
That's wonderful.
Done.